The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, you're about to hear us talk about how you can build a bigger, more toned, muscular butt. In the episode, we talk about the best MAPS programs to do so, and we all decided that doing MAPS anabolic and then transitioning to MAPS aesthetic would be your best bet. This is about 6 months of exercise programming. At the end of it, you will have a more developed butt. So what we've done is we put them together in a build your butt bundle. The entire thing, 20% off the normal price. Plus, we've included some special butt building programming. We call it the Butt Builder Blueprint. It's included for free. You go to mindpumpmedia.com, check out the Build Your Butt Bundle, 20% off with the free bonus, the Butt Builder Blueprint.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
We just recently aired an episode. We were joking around talking about body parts that women find most attractive. Mm. And then I made the comment that a big chest, a big muscular chest on a man is not in the top five body parts of that women would consider most sexy. Like if women listed top 10 sexy body parts on a man, chest would be there, but it wouldn't be top five. That's what I said. And
we're talking about five, right? Because arms technically is arms, right?
Yeah.
What's left?
Basically,
abs, I guess you're right.
Arms, legs.
I guess you're right,
dude. How many things are left?
Hold on.
It's like, head.
Yeah. He's like, definitely.
That was my point anyway. Like chest, it's kind of a big area.
It is, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. Well, but anyway, someone posted on the forum, and they posted some surveys that there were some articles. I guess this has been done before.
Oh, and, I didn't see someone did that already.
Someone posted.
There was a survey.
Oh, they're trying to say we're wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, then
you
it's
are.
Totally false.
Yeah, of course,
exactly.
You are.
People always try to get to Sal's defense.
It's not about defense,
dude. Even when we did the post.
I got you. Hold on. I got it. Sal,
dude. We did a post on calves, and we already did the calf comparison, and Sal got smoked, and then somehow I got pushed back down to the bottom of the worst calves again. Like, how did that work? I fought so hard to win. And then I won, I remember that. As soon as Sal throws a jab, like, it's not as bad as Adam's calves, I was like, whoa, wait a second, this motherfucker just pushed me back down to the bottom, I worked so hard to get ahead of him.
Number one, that's joking.
Hey.
Number two...
What have you done for me lately?
This was the true one. The true one. They did a survey.
Oh, okay, we need, like, a new, like,
when I'm wrong, I'm joking.
Okay, that's...
Don't forget. No, they did. They did a survey among women. It was, like 100-something college women. And and chest wasn't...
Which is all women.
Yeah.
Really. Huh. Yeah.
Okay, so...
100 women represents
all women. Fill me in,
because
I actually didn't see this on the forum. I missed this. Tell me.
Yeah, it was posted there. And actually, you know what? I'll fucking see if I can...
Yeah. Obviously, we have some people... A lot of people that listen
like
that aren't on there. So let them in a little bit here.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's find...
This is the type of shit that goes on in the forum.
Let's see if I can find it now. Great.
It's going to take a while.
Now it's going to take a little while. Why don't you guys talk amongst
yourselves? Give me the cliff notes. You can't give me the clip. Like, what were the top three? Can I tell me, please?
I don't remember.
Arms and
back,
abs,
shoulders, core. Yeah. But back was above it.
Back was
I remember saying
above
that.
It, yeah.
It was.
It maybe in that, I don't know. I still don't believe that.
Well, okay,
I feel like they didn't present them with
what
the
was
right
number
options.
One? Can you guys remember what number one is at least? Jesus.
I don't.
Oh my God, you guys are worthless.
I don't know.
I didn't read it. I'm just
there's some really
as you guys
obscure
are.
Ones like I like jawline.
I got it. Hold on.
I like a man's lips.
Okay. So this is actually published by Muscle and Fitness, which kind of gives it negative points because that's a stupid publication.
Well, they're all dumb.
But this is the 10 most attractive body parts ranked by women, and they did a research poll. Let me see. Let's see. I can't remember who they asked. Anyway, let's go through the body part, shall we? Number one, abs.
Okay.
So that's the first one.
I believe that.
Yeah. Number two, the butt. The generous posterior.
See, that's...
That was number two body part that women found attractive in a man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the landscape maybe has changed.
You know what,
it
though?
It has. Right? So that wasn't...
I actually remember reading... a science
back in the
article.
Days, girls just assumed guys didn't have asses.
Did they?
Yeah, I really think so.
I read an article.
No, dude, baseball pants. I always used to get that, and well, like football. Yeah.
Well, you always had, always you, like you've always it. Had a horse ass. You
got, I was like I'm a human being,
not just a
Stop
horse
smacking
ass.
Smacking it.
Listen, you got to think about what these body parts convey to the woman from an evolutionary standpoint. Powerful hips means you're probably a good hunter and provider.
Well, like, that's not what I was thinking when you just said that.
they're good drivers.
Yeah. I was going to say, powerful hips to me is that when you first boom. See a man with boom, powerful boom, hips, boom. I know what that means.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
Number three, strong shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Wow, shoulders. Huh?
Shoulders.
Number four.
That.
I mean, I could agree with that.
Number four, the back.
No.
Number five, arms. Number six, chest. God damn it.
That's so false.
Yeah. I don't
hey, listen. I'm not arguing with science. You can try if you want.
I mean, I don't know how many people that was
you know
in this
about
pool?
Controls and studies. So, like,
so then I pulled
we
up
asked our 10 girlfriends.
Yeah,
from,
exactly. Yeah. Who are these girls?
Yeah.
What who are just their so occupations?
Happen to be, they all follow.
Let
Sal.
Me let me see what the attractiveness well, no. are of these girls. So that's another factor.
So then I pulled up. I found another
See,
survey.
You're ugly.
They're
if
all
you're
just
ugly, you're ugly. You like yeah, different body
that's
parts.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's a whole another
ugly chicks
variable
like
to consider.
So then I pulled up. Check this out. I pulled up another survey by GQ, and they asked 108 women.
Let's ask supermodels.
And. Huh? Listen, and they asked, and number one was arms amongst this survey.
Okay, see, that's what I said was
number
first.
Two.
I agree with that.
We said arms and abs is what yep, we said.
Number abs, number two was shoulders on this one. Number
Which
three, number three on this one was back, and number four was what they said the V cut. What the fuck that means? It's the core.
It's still abs.
V cut.
Yeah, whatever.
It's still abs. So.
Then abs next.
That's
no
chest.
Chicks
the
like
top
that,
of the chest.
Chicks
into
like
the abs.
Chicks like the V,
is.
Dude.
That, yeah, that, V is chest into.
If
abs.
You got abs, you got the V, and yeah, vice
know,
versa.
Right.
If you got
That's
the V,
right.
you got abs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you can see that line,
abs only look good when there's a shelf over it.
By the way,
you know what I'm saying.
By the way, according to this survey of GQ. The second to last body part, I swear to God, I'll send this to you guys, that women found attractive was the chest.
Well, son of a bitch. You know what? I'm going to stop doing chest like Sal.
Well, there we go. I'm
just going to start skipping that day now.
I don't skip.
All back.
It just doesn't
from
grow.
Now on.
Huh? There's a big difference. Yeah. So anyway,
bro, it's,
I like to. I like
bro,
to,
it's never going
to
grow if you're doing 15-pound dumbbell flies. I see you over
there,
bro.
Well, I'm going to videotape myself now.
I over and I'm like, hey, are you doing a focus session? No, he's like, no, it's foundational
it's
day
heavy,
today.
Heavy day.
Oh, this is foundational day over here with 15-pound dumbbell flies? What MAPS program did you write?
All right, I see how it is. But anyway, butt always measures very highly.
I'm, you know what? Where would you guys say, you know, we did this whole thing on guys. What would you guys pick for, what are your top three body parts for a female?
Now, besides the obvious, like face, smile, that kind of shit, like just physical body parts.
Muscles, sorry. Let's say muscles.
Okay.
What are your three favorite muscles?
Oh, ass is number, it's got to be number one. Just the posture of your chain in general has got to be number one. I love a really nice, lower back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know when you see on a woman where you can see her erector spinae muscles and it kind of goes in where the spine is, and it's a very nice low back area.
Yeah, butterfly tattoo.
I think that looks very nice.
Something would like you that. Agree that
it has a nice little reservoir?
Well, would you agree too that sometimes like a little bit of poor posture looks better? Like a girl that has like an excessive anterior pelvic tilt than in that. And by excessive, I mean more than neutral, not like
her butt sticks out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just use a little easy access. Sneak up. Yeah. Beep, beep.
Okay, so butt's number one.
Yes.
Butt's got to be number
butt is one.
Okay, two.
I like the low back area.
Okay, so you're going to call the erector spinae as
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. God, what else? What would I pick? Because I like everything else too, man. I don't know. Hamstrings or quads, I think. I don't know. Really nice hamstrings look good on a girl, don't they?
I think we can all agree number one is butt.
Wouldn't you consider legs in general? Right?
Just legs in general?
Yeah.
That's kind of unfair though, because hamstrings and quads are very different.
They are.
And you know, you can have great quads and not hamstrings.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would say on a girl, great hamstrings really, really, because the hamstring tucks underneath the glute and you can see a girl with a nice ass and hamstrings is like, that's a winning combination right there. I actually like nice shoulders on a woman.
Shoulders look good. Definitely.
I do. When a woman has nice shoulders, it brings the arms out. And I think it, yeah, you know, you're not that way, huh? Okay. That's good though. Yeah. I like
how Justin disagrees.
I like butt, shoulders, then calves.
Okay.
You like calves?
Yeah, I do.
Calves are nice.
Mainly because I don't have them, and I think that's the genetic or the...
You're trying to procreate with someone with big calves?
Like, okay, you got to find a woman with better calves than you.
Exactly.
I really love that girl, but it ain't going to work. She doesn't have calves either. Got to find them.
Exactly.
Got to breed them in there. So yeah, I'd say that in that order, glutes, shoulders, and then calves for me. Yeah.
Well, you know, glute
kind of does it.
Butt training has become like this thing where it's this thing now all of a sudden, right? Women want to build a bigger butt.
All of a sudden?
Because I've been in the industry for so long. I don't remember when I first became a trainer that women came to me and said, I want to build a bigger butt.
Are you serious?
I don't remember them saying that.
I used to call myself the ass man. That was like my thing, dude.
You had it on your license plate, like
dude,
Seinfeld.
A client would come to me and they'd be asking, you came to the right guy. They call me the ass man,
They call me the ass man.
Although it has nothing to do with working glutes out.
Oh, my God.
No, I got that a lot, really.
That they want to build a bigger butt?
Yeah. Whoa. Did you not get that as female clients? That's like the number one thing.
Because
asked.
I remember
I've had that more than anything else. You know, I've had more girls tell me they want to build an ass than tell me they want to lose weight.
Well, no, let me explain because butt implants, they barely sold any not that like 10, 15 years ago. Now, like the trajectory of butt implants.
It's more the exaggeration.
That's what I'm saying.
The definition of it's changed.
That's not a good indicator of what we're talking about because you can build a butt, you can't build tits, and like you know, fake boobs are extremely popular, and that's totally different.
Well, my point is the style. Like,
well, they're because
what's happening? Okay, so
what has changed recently, and I will agree with where you're going.
You hear what I'm saying, right?
Is the big over exaggerated, like the J-Lo.
Exactly,
J-Lo. It became this like. The bigger the fatter, the bigger ass you
have.
Yes,
Kim Kardashian.
Okay, yeah.
And then music has been like promoting, you know, bigger butts. And so now women now want to build their butts, whereas before they just wanted to tone it.
And let's be honest, a lot of those asses are just fat asses, dude.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, no, I like a fat ass too. You know what I'm saying? Like a fat ass. There's benefits to that too.
Yeah.
But when women say that, like, you want a J-Lo butt, I'm like, you know, she didn't do a lot of work to get that butt, just so you know. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's like the guys that want the calves. I see, you know, Jay Cutler's calves, or I see someone's calves like that, and I'm like, I want calves like that. Well, you know, he ain't working that much harder than you are for him. He just fucking got him.
Some of the best, I'll tell you what though, some of the best.
I like how we just steamrolled over my answers.
Oh, shit. What are your top body parts, Justin? We did.
It's fine. No, I had like ass and like tummy and, you know,
tummy.
Like a flat, nice, you know.
You say tummy, I think about Sal every time.
No, that's true. I don't know. I don't like seeing like, you think about me? I don't like it all, you know. I don't know. I don't like the ripped look. You know what I mean? Like, I like a nice, like, everything symmetrical sort of put together.
You can't say that's not fair because I agree too. Because that's actually a good point.
Because
symmetry matters more than one excessive. Yes. Like I would rather
I like calves though. You brought calves up. I'm definitely like looking at girls' calves and legs in general. But yeah. So
I see now. What Justin just said.
Popeye arms.
What Justin just said, I think, is a very good point and something I've actually had to tell female clients before that have come to me asking to want to build certain body parts or get an excessively big butt or whatever.
Right.
And I try and remind them that how much sexier symmetry is than this out of proportion ass.
It's way better.
An out of proportion ass, I would trade.
You mean like one cheek bigger than the other?
No. By having this abnormally big ass, like a J-Lo or what like that. I would rather have a girl with an ass that is proportionate to her quads, her calves, her shoulders, her arms, and her back than a girl that has like, doesn't have much of a back, doesn't have much of calves, but has this amazing big old huge ass. It is sexier to look at a symmetric bar. And let me tell you, for sure it is naked. Because in clothes do wonders for the human body. I mean, they've brought science into fucking clothing lines now. I mean, it literally has gotten to the point where, I mean, Lululemon and Freddy Pants.
Oh, yeah.
False advertising.
They can take the worst ass you've ever seen and make me look twice. Like, damn, dude, I would have never thought she was built like that. And she's not built like that. You strip it down and it just comes apart.
Here's the thing. The glutes are a muscle, and the best looking glutes I've ever seen on women are women who've had to build them. I've seen lots of women who had no butts, then build their butts, and it's like this, it just looks amazing because they built it from scratch. I don't know. It's just very lean. Yeah. It's true. But we should talk about like strategies to build the glutes.
Volleyball.
Because we get a lot of questions on that. You know what I'm saying? On how, like, what should I do?
Not only strategies, but a lot of probably the
myths.
A lot of the problems that people, I just recently was talking to a female who is extremely quad dominant. She can never feel her butt. She does lots of stuff.
Adam's like, let me feel your butt.
I'll feel it for you.
That's not what I said, dude.
All right, go ahead.
I just said, look, this is where you should feel it. And then I touched it, said, this is right here. Didn't do that.
You're not activating.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of people that, you know, have a sleepy butt, you know, and they don't know what a sleepy butt looks like. So these are all,
I know what that means, but I've never heard that term before.
it just
doesn't fire.
Yeah, it's a sleepy butt. Yeah. You have a sleepy butt. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that you don't have one. It's just sleepy.
Yeah.
It's just a cushion.
It's just a little saggy.
There's not much of a neurological connection going on there.
Yeah. Of course, your barbell squat's got to be one of your best glute builders.
Number one.
But like Adam's saying, if you have trouble firing your glutes, then you could do lots of squats and you'll have trouble getting development for your glutes from your squats. You'll get big quads from your squats.
I can take somebody who's never lifted before, build a better ass on that person than somebody who's been lifting for 5 to 10 years who's super quad dominant. That's harder.
Hard to teach them to.
It is. If you've trained your body for a long time and you've never really felt your ass sore and you've had a really hard time, it is really hard. It's really hard to get that person to get that connection back going. Then it is a brand new beginner who's never lifted before to get them to feel it in their glutes.
Yeah, the pattern has been set.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's funny. I'm
breaking that.
I'm helping someone right now with glutes, and she's been training. She's very quad dominant. And so I'm having her do focus sessions on the days in between her foundational workouts where she's doing things like single leg toe touches, good mornings. I'm having her do single leg hip thrusts. I'm having her do hip thrusts with both legs where she's squeezing a block between her knees to activate the adductors. Mm-hmm. And it's been about, I don't know, 6 weeks now. And she tells me, she's like, I can feel my butt when I walk now. And I can feel my butt when I squat. Like, I couldn't feel it before. Now I'm getting I can feel my butt firing when I'm deadlifting.
Right.
And that's like one of the first signs that you're waking it up.
Yeah.
Is that you can finally feel it when you're doing those exercises.
Well, let's explain what that means. I mean, I was joking around by saying using the term sleepy butt, but that's true. That's what happens is you stop firing. You lose that neurological, not lose it completely, but there's less of a neurological connection.
Yeah, when you're doing a squat, your hips or your glutes are a prime mover. They should be a prime mover. But if your quads are extremely dominant for whatever reason, either because of an imbalance due to lifestyle or genetics or the way you've exercised in the past, for example... Yeah. Long distance runners tend to be quad dominant because they only train a very short range of motion.
Right.
Versus sprinters who have.
I was going to say, you're not getting enough depth, you know, in your squats or in your exercising in general.
Like, exactly.
You're not really opening up to that degree.
And so if you take that person and you just have them do squats, their quads are going to do a lot of the work. They'll get a little bit of glute. The glutes aren't, like Adam was saying, they're not completely shut off, but they're shut off to the point where they're not going to get a lot of glute development out of the squats because it's going to go to their quads. And so what you have to do with that person is you have to change the recruitment pattern, make their glutes become the prime movers again in the squat. And there's a couple strategies. One is box squats. I love box squats for this because I'll get a client who's having trouble sitting back. And by the way, a good trainer can tell if your glutes aren't firing based upon the way the squat looks. And the way that the real obvious sign is you'll watch someone squatting with a barbell from the side and they'll squat down and their knees come real far forward.
Yes, and their knees protrude quite a bit.
Yeah, and their hips don't sit back a lot. So you don't see a lot of hip extension. So with the box, what I do is I put a box or a bench behind them. I have them get under a barbell. And then what I have them practice doing is sitting back with the barbell to where their hamstrings touch the bench before their butt even does. Then have them sit all the way down, sit down for 2 seconds, and then come back up. And it's getting the glutes to fire on that descent that's helping.
I'll do the same thing, and I'll have like a stick or some kind of measure in front of their knees so they actually pay attention to that. Like, is there...
Oh, like you hold it in front of their knees?
I stand there with my hand. So as soon as you feel my hand, you slide back more.
And then just like really focusing on driving that heel into the ground, like as a connectivity, like a practice, just initially so you can get it to fire, you know, the posterior chain more and get more active in that lift.
Yeah. And hip thrusts are great for that too.
Hip thrusts. Yep.
Hip thrusts are really, really good. I like to use them from a correctional standpoint. There's some people that use it as a big power movement. I'm starting to see now where people are using lots of weight. A hip thrust will never replace a barbell squat. It's just not going to. Is it a good exercise? It is. From a correctional standpoint, I love them. I love having people lay on
this
the floor.
This is not as demanding of a movement.
Well, I wanted you to, because you said some really good stuff there, and you just kind of grazed over it, where, you know, all the things that you were doing with the client that you're working with right now to get her glutes firing more, and we're using it. These are all accessory exercises that you hear us kind of bash and talk about in other episodes, right? We talk shit about glute kicks, and we talk, but I absolutely prescribe that to some people. But this is what's wrong with the industry. Is like most people take those exercises, they market them, they wrap them up, and then they throw some gimmick behind them as like, this is designed for women and to build your glutes and to do all these little glute kicks and all these, you know, wrap rubber bands around your knees and walk tube walking and do all these things.
Oh my God, I see it everywhere.
Oh, it's crazy. It's ridiculous right now, right? And or they get on the leg press and they put the rubber band around their knees while they leg press and all this stupid stuff. It's like, we do all these exercises too, but they're designed to just to get the people to learn how to fire their glutes so they can go do an exercise that's really going to fucking help them, well, like a squat or a deadlift.
It reminds me of that post that you provided with the gymnastic rings where the guys are pulling up all the time and they have ridiculous biceps.
Right.
And so if you look at the difference between like a pull up and an arm curl, like that's how I look at like hip thrusts, you know, like that's like an arm curl in comparison
Excellent
to a squat.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you
less
can,
demanding.
So I would prescribe to people hip thrusts and things like hip thrusts and single leg toe touches, which are great. Single leg toe touches, you're balancing on one leg and you're doing a deadlift with one leg. And you don't need much weight. You can do it with weight. You can do it without weight. Most people who've never done it before do fine with no weight, and that'll give you plenty of work.
I did a combo of that on my IG. Did you see that where I did the...
Are you going to backstep lunge to that?
You go from your knees and you use your hips to rotate up to a single leg toe touch and then back down.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And these are the exercises that I'll have people do on the days off but the days where they're not doing the barbell squat. So let's say you're having trouble firing your glutes, and today's a big, heavy foundational workout day, and we're going to do barbell squats. Instead of doing barbell squats because you're quad dominant, I'm going to have you do box squats. And in that case, you can replace barbell squats with box squats for that particular scenario. Then the next day after, we're not going to do barbell squats again, but I may have you do single leg toe touches, hip thrusts, maybe some good mornings. Good mornings are great for the glutes also, especially if you really focus on sitting back and, you know, maintaining that arch in your back and coming up and squeezing the glutes. Then those are the times you want to do those auxiliary exercises. But what those auxiliary exercises do isn't so much as build the glutes. Most of the building of the glutes happens with the squats and deadlifts. What those exercises are doing is it's getting those muscles to fire and become prime movers.
It's making that connection.
That's it.
Yeah, you're
so they're important.
Yeah. You know what? I think of it like this, like somebody who has, and we've all had this problem, well, not everybody, but I'm sure most people have broken an arm or been casted up before, and how the body starts to atrophy. Well, part of what causes the atrophy, aside from you not using it, well, what happens on a neurological sense? On a neurological sense, if you broke your left leg and you're on crutches and you're on a cast the whole time,
you're going to recruit other muscles to be involved with the movement.
Exactly. So now the brain it says, okay, I don't need to send so many neurons over to that leg because it's not being activated, it's not being worked. It sends them other places to get you through this. So then when you pull the cast off 6 months later and you just decide to start walking again, that's why people feel like they're all wobbly. It's almost like, oh, this is weird for the first time again, I'm stepping on this leg. It's because it's the neurological connection. It's not because you don't have enough muscle on the leg to support you walking or something like that.
You know, anytime you do a repetitive motion over and over again, there's pathways that get developed in the brain. And it's like a memory, okay? Mm-hmm. It's literally a memory of movement. And that pathway remains until a new pathway is created or something else is trained. And so like Adam was saying, if I tore my bicep, let's say I tore both of my biceps and both arms, my body knows I still need to be able to move and lift things. So it's going to find ways to do so without using that torn bicep. And what happens over time is a new pathway will be created in my brain to move in a way, in a fashion that does not involve the torn bicep, but allows me to lift, mm-hmm. you know, a box or do whatever. If when my biceps then heal, I don't go back to training a new pathway, that is now my default. That's my default pathway. And so what happens when people have, like Adam was saying, a sleepy butt, is for whatever reason, either because they sit down all the time or because maybe all they do is long distance running, or, you know, for whatever reason, they have created this pathway that makes the glutes kind of play second fiddle and not be a prime mover or prime, you know, one of the prime movers in squats or any of the movements. That becomes your default pathway. So then when I go to do a movement, my body goes straight to that default, which means it's going to be dominant. It's going to use other muscles that are dominant, like in like we talk about with the quads. You have to retrain. You have to change that pathway. And the way you do that is through certain movements. You can't, here's the thing. It's very difficult to create a new pathway with heavy weight. Okay. I want to be very clear with that, because mm-hmm. when I place a lot of demand on my body is going to immediately default to my strongest pathway, which happens
to be. I'm so glad you said this. Right. This is such a good point right here. Right.
So if I'm going to go squat and I have glutes that don't fire and I'm quad dominant, going heavier on the squat isn't going to make my glutes, you know, fire more. It's going to make my quads fire harder, because right. my body has to go to the default because I am strongest within that recruitment pattern.
Right.
Whatever recruitment pattern that your brain is creating a pathway for, whatever recruitment pattern that you're used to using, happens to be the strongest right. recruitment pattern that you have at that moment. So you can't challenge it with weight. You have to correct it before you challenge it with weight. So when we're doing things like hip thrusts and donkey kicks and all these different exercises, we're not going to fatigue. We're not going to failure. We're literally trying to feel and change the way the muscles fire. And then when that happens, when we've established that, then we can go to the squat.
It's practice for game day.
Yeah, this type of thinking is really what's driven me into like all these new techniques with isometric training and with ways of adding more intrinsic tension. And all I'm doing is I'm trying to build up my connectivity. And it doesn't require that I add, you know, any significant load or any at all for that matter, right? But what I'm doing is I'm training these pathways. I'm building and developing this connectivity with my brain and my muscle, where now, you know, if I'm adding max exertion, you know, it's a safe way to do that. If I'm intrinsically like increasing my tension in my muscle, you know, on my own, I have a lot more control with that. And plus then now what you're doing is you're opening up this level that, if I can increase that range as far as like how much tension I can provide, to each one of these muscles, now my lifts are going to benefit, because now like I've told, you know, my muscles that my capacity is now increased as far as like, you know, that neuromuscular connection is so much stronger, to where, you know, adding more load, it translates well to overcoming that.
Well, I'm so glad you went that direction, because this is part of what makes MAPS White special, is that, you know, we've incorporated moves like this that help strengthen and train that connection that people might look at as, oh, that's real basic or simple. It doesn't seem, I'm not, you know, squatting a bunch of repetitions and times. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I think a lot of people would at first glance overlook some of the movements, like with the stick and stuff that are inside there, you know, the isolation movements that are created in there, and not realize what you're really doing. And then this also takes to like how we talk about on the forum and places, that this is how you evolve our programs, is let's say I have somebody who's doing MAPS White now, and they don't fire their glutes. This is a great way to take specific exercises, isolation yep. exercises that we've incorporated in there for the glute, because that is your primary goal, is you are just trying to get these glutes to work and fire properly before. And like when I said it's practice for game day, mm-hmm. what I meant by that is like, when we're doing all these auxiliary movements, we're doing the isolation stuff like Justin's saying, or we're doing the exercises like Sal's saying, like the glute kicks and things like that. It's practice. And game day is the fucking squat and deadlifts. That's right. When you get to the heavy squatting, the heavy deadlifting, that nothing is going to give you more bang for your buck when it comes to building the butt. But if you don't put all the practice in for game day,
it's a completely different mentality too, just to put it out there. Like, you know, like there's active and there's passive sort of ways to address exercises. And, you know, when we just focus on overcoming load, what we're really doing that in some sense of it in a passive way, right? If I'm trying to just get into like a position and then drive up out of that position, versus, you know, creating tension and then maintaining tension through the entire repetition, you know, think about how much more control you're going to have in the second.
Well, think about it this way. Okay, here's a good analogy. If I have a typewriter and I've always only ever used my index fingers to type, like all of us, the first time we all learned how to type, we don't learn how to type with all of our fingers. We do the two finger poke, right? And let's say I got really good at that and I can go 40 words per minute. And then Adam comes over and says, no.
It's all wrong.
It's all wrong. You got to use all your fingers. Go as fast as you can. I'm going to be much faster with my two fingers because that's the way I've always done it. That's my pathway. My default.
Great analogy right there.
I'm going to have to slow the fuck down. I'm going to have to slow down and learn how to type properly before I can blow past what I did before with two fingers now that I'm doing the better technique.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing with these movements is you have to slow down, lighten the load, feel the muscle firing, get to the point where things, you start to feel the way that they're supposed to work, create that new recruitment pattern. Then you go and you start lifting heavy weights with your squats and your deadlifts, and boom, your glutes develop.
That's such a great analogy on so many levels because it is possible somebody with two fingers could get really fast if you got fucking good at it, right? Just like somebody who is super quad dominant could still be a strong squatter.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You could still squat, you know, be a chick and squat 225 and not ever feel your ass, you know, but it doesn't mean that you're efficient at what you're doing and you're probably at
and your... And you'll be a better squatter if you got it to fire.
Limiting your ability.
You are limiting. Term. A lot of people don't realize that this glute's the strongest muscle in your lower half for sure. Once you teach it,
not the strongest muscle in the whole body. I mean, I would think
it is.
Right?
Yeah, it is absolutely. Be. Yeah, the glutes are by far.
So that's my tongue.
What?
So once you really learn to fire it properly, because it should be the prime mover, you will see your squat go up. Just like you will eventually see the typewriter speed go way beyond the 40, but it may take a while before you even catch up.
Right, and I'll tell you this: like the number one thing. There's two body parts that people will comment that they get the most development from doing MAPS Red, MAPS Anabolic, and that's the glutes and the back. By far, I get the most comments from people saying, my ass is totally developing differently in my back. And this is both for men and women. Mm-hmm. But that's because those are your
frequency of our compound movements.
Yeah, those are your strong muscles. Like those are the muscles that make you a strong person, are your back and your ass. And if you're doing these compound movements and you're doing it right, and we've incorporated box squats in MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Red, and all of our MAPS programs takes all these things into account. But if you do a MAPS program, any of them, you're going to get developed glutes because your hips and your glutes are one of the most important muscles in your body. In fact, mm-hmm. I would venture to say it's probably the most important muscle in the body when it comes to total function.
Yeah, it's so centric to everything. Like, I mean, your back is affected, you know, your knees, like you go down your legs, all the way to your feet are affected by your hips. So, you know, like everything that's so supporting your spine, you know, in a sense, like all of your basic mechanics, like it all revolves around your hips.
Basically, the bigger the butt, the better your life.
That's true.
I mean, that's very true. That's pretty much how it works.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Make sure it's muscle.
Yeah.
It's something that I think that it's the fucking fitness industry has taken it and twisted the shit out of it, which annoys me is, you know, I think there's a lot of people right now that do a lot of, I see it all, I don't know, every day I see at least 10 in the gym when I'm in there and I look over and I see, you know, and it's mostly girls because girls are focused on building their butt. They're also normally the ones that are concerned about not getting this big bulky muscle. So they do these exercises that, like, you know, hooking your leg on the cables and doing like
spending like 45 minutes doing five different variations.
Yes, they do. Like, I see them do like four or five different exercises like that. Now, like I said, we give a lot of shit to those, or we talk a lot of shit about those, but yet we still would utilize them because that person who's doing, I know for a fact, right? I know they're doing it, and in their mind, they think that that was a good solid workout for them because they did all these different exercises for their glutes. When in reality, we would just look at that as like auxiliary work, neurological work that's going to set them up for having a successful squat.
Yeah, they're activating it, but Yes. It's minimal in comparison.
Very, very, very minimal. And if they're not doing the real work, the what our foundational days are all about, which is like you're squatting, you're deadlifting, movements like that, you're going to see very minimal. And can you do glute kicks and donkey kicks and cable fucking things all day to try and build the ass and see a difference? Sure. You see a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You could definitely, it's working the muscle. It's not like it's not working the muscle. But, oh, man, if you can learn to fire your glutes properly
and then squat.
Squat heavy and deadlift heavy, shit.
You know what's another?
You'll supersede the work you did in those little donkey kick shit for 5 years. You'll supersede that in weeks.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's your absolute basic bare bones. If you, you know, besides enrolling in one of our programs, you just want some basic, you know, advice, here it is. Barbell squat once a week. Deadlift once a week. Those are your heavy, hard workouts. Maybe do, if you're going to work out a third day a week heavy, do some backstep lunges. Backstep lunges will hit the glutes. And then on the days in between, do those small exercises we're talking about.
Yeah,
do
but
those,
treat those exercises. When you do those, I that's an off day. You know, have that in your mind. This is not a working day. If I'm on the ground doing floor bridges and butterflies and doing all these little glute kick things, that can be done as active recovery.
That's what I'm saying.
So weak sauce.
Exactly.
No, I know what you're saying. I just want people to understand what are whale tails? Is that even a thing?
They lean over the ball and they.
Oh, is that a whale tail?
That's what they call.
I thought a whale tail was one of the thongs stuck out of the pants.
Yeah. Well, that actually looks like a whale tail. Yeah.
What
he just said. I've never even heard it called
Shamu.
That before.
Yeah.
I see that. I just saw that in the gym literally 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Whale tails.
Did you?
Yeah.
I have yet to do.
We'll call it that.
Yeah. What about reverse hypers, man?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like a whale tail with some weight.
It is.
It's good.
That's money for the
I need you to show me how to use the machine, the legit one for that.
For sure.
Because I have yet to do them.
They have it at the New Golds. I use it.
I've tried
hooking
my legs in there.
Still an accessory tool.
I do it.
And it works?
Oh, yeah.
Right, hip bridging, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah. You know what else is a good glute builder? This is if you're fit enough to do it. Short uphill sprints. Mm-hmm. Short uphill sprints will get you your glutes to fire pretty hard, rather than just straight sprints.
Well, okay, that's okay. Yep. So I just did this the tip at Orange Theory the other day about understanding central nervous system, and I was using your analogy with the whole amplifier and speaker, and you know every time you lift weights or you work out, you know there's obviously you're incorporating the central nervous system. We don't work without it, right? So it's not like it's not getting worked at all, but there's certain things that we do that require more demand on it, and plyometrics or explosive movements is one of those. Mm-hmm. Heavy lifting, we talk about that, is a huge thing for CNS, but so is explosiveness and plyo. And this is also how I would use plyos.
Yeah.
And that mentality, this is like what you just said. What you're doing is doing sprinting up the hill like that is you are putting a larger neurological demand on the glutes. You may not be doing a huge weight demand, but you're gonna strengthen that CNS connection more than anything else, which that's an awesome thing.
Well, it increases, that speed of connectivity. Like you want to be able to recruit it with even more lightning fast speed. And that's, I mean, I guess that's somewhat of the point I was trying to bring up with the isometric, like going for max exertion with that. You know, like if you're not really squeezing, you know, at your highest ability neurologically, you know, you're doing a disservice to your muscle and its ability.
Well, you know, the important factor though here, okay. So if you got somebody who is quad dominant and they have a very hard time firing the glutes, you know, plyometric work, I'm not the biggest fan of.
Not yet.
No. Because
it's too high of a demand.
It is.
It's going to go right to that default recruitment pattern.
So,
that's it. Yeah.
And what made me want to respond to that right now, I know somebody who has more quad dominant. She takes my class. And so when she runs, I can see it in her running pattern.
Yeah.
She runs on her quads.
Right.
She pedals with her quads when she runs on the treadmill.
People like that, you'll also see them have, typically, they'll be really developed calves.
Yeah.
You'll see calves and quads.
That's what she has. Mm-hmm. She's got unbelievable calves, and she's got these dominant quads. And what she doesn't realize is that the running is doing a disservice to her, too, because it's something you do every
time. She's jumping. That's all. It's going to reiterate that.
Yeah. She's just constantly reinforcing that recruitment pattern by running.
I'm over here saying, I want you to do these glute kicks and doing all these little auxiliary works to try and figure that neurological. Then you go hop on a treadmill and then you go run for 30 minutes.
And erase it.
And then you go, yeah, you send the yeah. neurological connection back to the right. old the old pathway that we're trying to fucking
you're
destroy.
Doing all incline, like slow.
It's literally.
Right? That's a good tip right there. Yeah. That's a good. If you're somebody who's in taking, like, you know, we have a lot of listeners that take Orange Theory and stuff. And this is someone you would be better off taking, like, a, you know, doing a long strided walk
yep.
on the treadmill than you would be by running or jogging on
yep.
there for sure.
Yep, totally. Go to mindpumpmedia.com. That's where we have all of our programs available. Our MAPS programs are on there. Great glute developers, that's for sure. And you can also leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. Adam is at Mind Pump Adam. And Justin is at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.